Acts chapter 18, and I want to read from verse 12. Acts chapter 18 and verse 12. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters." And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this short reading from his word. Last week, we learned that the Lord Jesus Christ came to the Apostle Paul in a vision at a time when it seemed as though there was about to be a riot in Corinth. And Paul, as had been a pattern in other cities in Macedonia, probably was of the view that now's the time to get out of town. Now's the time not to be here, because he would not want to bring the gospel into disrepute. He would not want to be a threat to those believers who, in their new faith, had recently come to a knowledge of the truth. And there were others in the town also, for example, those that he had been staying with, Priscilla and Aquila, who had made their home in Corinth, who would have been jeopardized had this riot taken on the force of a full-scale insurrection. And so Paul probably was of the mind that now was a good time to leave the city for the sake of peace. But the Lord said something different. The Lord said, "No, Paul, this time you stay. This time we're going to go through this trouble and we will come out the other end. No one will harm you. No one will touch you. And I am going to use you to save many people in this city, for I have much people in Corinth." And so the Apostle Paul was told that he was to stay, and indeed stay he did, and we discover that he stayed for at least 18 months and probably considerably longer than that. It's likely that he was there the best part of 2 full years. So the Lord had come in this vision to Paul and given him a word of comfort and a word of courage. He could see the trouble brewing, but he was told not to depart. Paul was instructed to stay for the reasons that we've thought about. And I suspect that the vision that Paul had probably came to him very shortly before this riot, or what the writer Luke calls an insurrection, took place. Maybe even the night before. But the Lord had promised that Paul would not be harmed. Paul took the Lord at his word, and the Lord's promise was fulfilled. Paul was not hurt. You know, the Lord promises to save his people. He promises to defend his people. He promises to be a shield to his people. And that doesn't mean to say that nothing ever happens that causes us anxiety. Indeed, we will discover in our Christian life that there's lots that we have to worry about. But we always know that the Lord is shielding his people. And nothing will happen to us until and except it is God's good purpose to do so, for a greater end than we perhaps might understand. And that was the case here in Corinth. As I was reading these words, had a little thought about another occasion when something similar transpired to what we've read about here in Acts chapter 18. And I want to read you some paragraphs from another story, this time by a man called John Bunyan, when it was an example that he was given about having to walk between two adversaries. Paul had to steer a course between the rioting Jews who wanted to hurt him and indeed kill him, and the authorities in the town, Gallio here spoken of, and the leadership of Corinth. And here we find John Bunyan speaking about an incident in the life of Christian in Pilgrim's Progress. And Christian is heading to a palace. It's called the Palace Beautiful. And there he hopes that he might get some comfort from the weariness of his journey. He might be able to find some accommodation and some rest. This is what John Bunyan says. "So I saw in my dream that he made haste and went forward, that if possible he might get lodging there at the Palace Beautiful. Now before he had gone far, he entered into a very narrow passage, which was about a furlong off from the porter's lodge. And looking very narrowly before him as he went, he espied two lions in the way. Now, thought he, I see the dangers that mistrust and timorous were driven back by. The lions were chained, but he saw not the chains. Then he was afraid, and thought also himself to go back after them, for he thought nothing but death was before him. But the porter at the lodge, whose name is Watchful, perceiving that Christian made a halt, as if he would go back, cried unto him, saying, Is your strength so small? Fear not the lions, for they are chained, and are placed there for a trial of faith where it is, and for discovery of those that have none. Keep in the midst of the path, and no hurt shall come unto you. Then I saw that he went on, trembling for fear of the lions, but taking good heed to the directions of the porter. He heard them roar, but they did him no harm." You see, these lions were chained at the side of this narrow path, and there was just enough space for a man to walk between. The porter called for faith and trust, and Pilgrim walked through safely. Though he was afraid, yet his adversaries did not harm him. And I think there's a lovely parallel there in that story to what we read here concerning Paul. Gallio was not Paul's friend. By no means. Gallio would have been quite happy to do Paul as much trouble and as much harm as his office would allow him if he felt that Paul was in any way troublesome to the city. He cared nothing for the gospel or the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Jews rioting, the Jews insurrection, an insurrection is a violent uprising. The Jews, they were out to get Paul if they possibly could. They were angry that so many Jews and Greeks, that was the Gentiles who had trusted in the Jewish faith, had left the synagogue and converted to the gospel that Paul was preaching. And just like those lions in Bunyan's story, both sides would have happily torn Paul to pieces. But both were chained, and both were only able to make a noise, and they were not able to touch the apostle. None was able to harm Paul. God had so ordained it. And the word of the Lord Jesus Christ in the vision to his apostle, that no one would touch thee, came true on this occasion. This should give us all encouragement in our service and in our witness. In the trials that we face in this life and the challenges that we are called to go through. These are chained enemies that we have. These enemies that we see around about us that cause us anxiety, they can go only so far and do only so much. And we might feel their stinking breath against our face. But they cannot touch us. And their teeth will not enter in. There is a little prophecy in Psalm 105. Verse 15, which says, "Touch not mine anointed, and do the prophets no harm." The word of God speaks to this world, and it says this: don't you touch my people. Touch not mine anointed. Do the prophets no harm. It's lovely when we take the gospel, Mitch, perhaps you'll agree, and we are able to take it into circumstances and situations where who knows what reaction we are potentially going to be confronted with. And yet to do so in the boldness of the knowledge that Christ stands with us. And he says, I have much people in this city. Verse 17, just to close our thoughts here, is the end of the narrative this morning. And it says, then all the Greeks. Now, that's not the Greeks that were converted in the synagogue to the Jewish faith and then became converts to Paul's message. This is the Greeks that lived in the city of Corinth, which was a Greek city. So these are not believers in any way. But they realized that the Jews had started this insurrection. And they realized that Gallio had thrown them out of court. And so they were empowered, if you like. They thought, this is a good opportunity for us just to put these Jews into their place. And they went and they got the leader of the synagogue, who was probably the leader of the insurrection as well, a man called Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue. And they dragged him back to the judgment seat before Gallio, and they beat him up there. That's what you call tough justice. That's what you call popular justice. And we're told Gallio cared for none of those thing. So Sosthenes, the leader of the insurrection, got a little bit of his own medicine. And that's what happens when the wicked raise their hands against the Lord's people. But you know what PS means, don't you? Because there's a little postscript to this story. If I'm right in thinking that this man Sosthenes, the leader of the insurrection and the leader of the synagogue, is the same person. If you turn over in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you'll see something very interesting there. Remember where Paul is? He's in Corinth. And after he left Corinth, he wrote a letter back to the Corinthians explaining his doctrine and his theology and bringing personal information to the people. Look at the opening verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Isn't that lovely? I think Sosthenes, after he got his beating, also got converted. And I think that the leader of the insurrection of the Jews could not withstand. And maybe he was more like Saul of Tarsus than Paul the apostle would like to remember. Because Saul of Tarsus had harmed Stephen, the deacon. And then he had been converted. And it would appear as if Sosthenes was following in the same pattern. So thank you very much for listening to these thoughts. May the Lord bless them to our hearts.